Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts. What it means for Indy, what it means for Carson as he tries to rebuild his career. And Osaka over Serena, what it means for GOATs. Capital G and lowercase g with this panel. Let's go.
Medium G.
I think Naomi Osaka is going towards a medium G right now. Hasn't lost in years. We'll get to that in a second. Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts for a third round pick this year and a second round pick next year. That pick next year is conditional, so it could move up to a first round. But that's what we got. That's the deal. Is it done? Well, nothing's ever done in the NFL until the new calendar year starts in the NFL. But Wentz is a Colt. Mina Kimes, around the horn to you. What just happened?
Well, what just happened is a quarterback who is arguably the worst starter in the NFL last year, or bottom five, just compelled his employer to eat $34 million in dead cap and forced his way onto a better team. The winner of this trade is Carson Wentz. It's not the Eagles, it's not the Colts, it is Wentz. As far as the team goes, the outcome really depends on that conditional pick you alluded to, because if it does turn out to be a first, and I think it's likely that Carson Wentz plays 75% of the time, then it's not that bad for Philly, all things considered. There weren't a lot of bidders for Wentz, and of course he was terrible last year. They can begin to rebuild without him. As far as Indy goes, this is a bet on a return to form. We all know that Frank Reich was Carson Wentz's coach in 2017, or his coordinator, when he was great. I don't think it's likely he returns to that level, but if they get 2019 Carson Wentz, that's a contender with the roster they have.
Yeah, we'll dig deeper in that in a second. Now to Tim Kalisha. Who won this trade? You heard Kimes say Wentz won this trade. Who won this trade, Timmy?
Well, I agree with that aspect of it. I'm going to go ahead and declare the Colts the winner. For one thing, they're not using a first-round pick on a quarterback. We've seen how badly that goes for teams over the last decade. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And their third-round pick this year, that's, you know, they were a playoff team. That's not even a top 80 pick. That's just something you're throwing out there. What do they get? That's the question. And as she said, Frank Reich, quarterback's coach, guy who really got through to Wentz 3 years ago, he believes he can do it. We'll see. The Eagles get very little return. You know, it's a complete opposite of Goff.
Yeah.
It's a complete opposite of Goff. The Rams throw stuff in, and they get Matt Stafford. The Eagles are just saying, we'll give Jalen Hurts a try. We're stuck with $33 million in dead money. We're not really getting much in the way of picks. We just want this guy out of town. That's got to be a disastrous finish for the whole Carson Wentz.
Wow. I mean, when you even brought up the Eagles, that was an enormous exhale from Kalisha, just taking in the stock of what this
franchise is. They're the worst team in the NFC East.
And that's watch yourself. Watch yourself. You have no position to be making that argument. Emily Kaplan, we'll go to you now here. Who won this trade?
Tone, do you hear the sound behind me? I know I'm in a soundproof studio in Chicago, yeah, but I swear you can hear the fans in Chicago celebrating that they did not make a trade offer. I swear to God, I saw Sarah Spain running down Rush Street. She's that excited. It was not going to be a good marriage.
Normal,
I'm glad
that
it didn't happen.
That, but yes, okay.
Yeah, of course, but I saw her especially excited today. For the Eagles, though, look, they didn't get the bounty that they wanted, but I think that's their own undoing. So much of Wentz's regression is about his mental state, and it really feels like they underestimated the impact that drafting Jalen Hurts would have on Carson Wentz, and that led to his decline. So now the Eagles get exactly what they wanted. They get to put trust in Jalen Hurts. That's what the locker room wants, and that's what the fan base probably wants. As for the Colts, they now get a guy that had more turnovers last year than their entire team.
Is that right? Wow, didn't look at that today. Good stat there from Kaplan. Now Mr. Justin Tinsley, who won this trade?
I just want to point out the fact that there have been 22 first-round quarterbacks selected between 2009 and 2016, and none of them are with their original teams, including the top two picks in the 2016 draft, which are Goff and of course, now Wentz. So I look at it like, by the semantics, Indy won this trade. They get a young quarterback who was statistically terrible last year, but with a huge chip on his shoulder, and he reunites with the guy who had him looking like an MVP yesteryear. Not
okay.
Do they replicate that?
I know this is your third show, but we've now muted that for many, many shows. The idea, Carson Wentz played 10 good games and everyone is still living off that MVP first half he had 4 years ago. I'm going to go back to you, Mina Kimes. What are you hearing from football people with Wentz? Is this a tweak of some kind? Well, or a full-on rebuild? Yeah. A reawakening? Is it mental? Is it physical?
I think it's telling, Tony, that apparently outside of Indy, there weren't that many bidders for Carson Wentz's services. He made it very clear he wanted out. He was associated with Chicago, but we're hearing our Adam Schefter reported that Chicago did not make an offer, and they're desperate for a quarterback as anyone. You make a really good point about that MVP season, because people keep pointing to that and saying, well, Wright coached him, and he was amazing. Yes, but a lot of what he did that year was unsustainable, in particular on third down. I think 2019 is more realistic. However, I also think it's highly plausible that even if Carson Wentz returns to that 2019 form, he's not that much of an upgrade over Phillip Rivers. Rivers finished 11th in adjusted net yards per attempt last year. That accounts for interceptions and sacks. Carson Wentz was 35th. In 2019, Wentz was 16th. Yes, he'll have a better situation in Indianapolis, but I don't think the difference between him and what we saw out of Phillip that last year is very large at all.
Kalishaw, I'll give you the last word here. Have you ever seen a quarterback do what Wentz did? You know, have some success, then really plummet, but then get it back. Has anyone ever gotten it back is what I'm asking.
I think you can get it back when you change to better people around you. The Colts have a much better offensive line than the Eagles. They have better receivers. They have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. Now can Wentz handle that? He doesn't have to get all the way back to 2018. I mean, he played well a couple of years. He played decently enough after the Super Bowl. He was just god-awful this past year.
The horn will move on. Naomi over Serena. Straight sets. This is big. The story for Serena is not getting through to 24 again. The story for Osaka is the ascension. Both deserve full time. We can start now with Serena and how this played out in the match. Also, what this loss means for her. First to you, Emily Kaplan.
Serena's in her 26th season as a pro, which has allowed her to experience the impact of her legacy and play against women like Naomi Osaka, who grew up rooting for her. But to say Serena is washed up or done is completely short-sighted. Since her maternity leave, she has made 4 Grand Slam finals. And everything we've heard about her childbirth, it was a traumatic, emotional and physical experience. And this tournament, she was playing at her highest level since. She was moving well. She wasn't injured. She just ran into a buzzsaw in this match with Naomi and put up 24 unforced errors. So no, I don't think she's done. I think she'll use this as motivation, not demoralizing. She's just got to figure out why she's making it so far in these tournaments and how she can just get over that last little bit of an edge to get number 24.
Kalishaw?
You know, I don't think she's washed up at all. You don't go to semifinals when you're washed up. But when she gave that wave and stopped, even before the broadcaster said it, I have no proof of this, but I said, sitting at home by myself, this is her last Australian Open, okay? I had it out there. And I think she doesn't know that for sure, but I think she thinks it probably is. And maybe this is going to be kind of a victory, one victory lap, and see if she can get one more Grand Slam this year. She gets very close. But then she runs into mostly Osaka, who is simply better, and she can't do much about that. She lost a lot of energy when things got away from her after that 2-0 lead in the first.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, I do want to say that Serena said after the match that if I say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. That sounds like a future Drake lyric, so I can't wait to hear that in a song at some point. But look, this may very well be her last Australian Open, but I didn't get that impression. Up until she lost 8 of the last 9 games to Osaka last night, we were praising how dominant, how quick she looked last night. I don't want to usher Serena Williams out. And I'll say this too, Tony. Serena Williams can never be done. What the Williams sisters did for tennis is immeasurable. At the 2020 U.S. Open, there were 12 black women playing in that tournament. That's 10% of the field. Tennis changed with and because of them, and not even golf can say they did that with Tiger.
Beata Kimes, if we could just start on the court last night, how did this get away from Serena, and what do you think it tells going forward?
It was all about Naomi Osaka. I mean, I know Serena had 24 unforced errors, but I think I speak for everyone here. There were points where when Osaka was serving, I felt like the ball was going to come through my television screen and smack me in the face. She's unbelievable right now. And Serena Williams is still a very good player. It would be very foolish of us to say a player who just made it to the semis has no chance at winning another major. She's just not as good as Naomi Osaka. That's the reality of where they are in their careers. And I don't think it's a binary washed up or the GOAT thing. I think it's just a relative standing at this point.
What Osaka is doing. She hasn't lost in a year. when she has made the quarterfinal of a major, she has won that major every time. So just getting there means W for Osaka, Tim Kalishaw. What are we seeing here with the 23-year-old Naomi Osaka?
We're seeing what women's tennis has needed for a long time, and we're seeing something that enabled, this sounds wrong because it sounds like I'm diminishing Serena. I'm not doing that at all. But she got to 23 Grand Slams because there wasn't another young women's champion coming along who consistently played well. You know, Halep might play well in this tournament. Kerber might in that. But then they never repeat it, and they never do it over and over. Naomi Osaka is good every time out, and she is the next great tennis player.
Justin Tinsley.
I kept hearing this talk about the passing of the torch to Naomi last night. Last night proved nothing to me. Naomi has had the torch for a while now. She's the best player in the sport. She's 20-0 since tennis restarted last summer. Like, she is this good. We are in the Naomi Osaka era. And everything she does on the court is heightened by what she does off the court, speaking on issues like police brutality, gender equality, taking these GQ cover photo shoots. She's creating a culture around her, and we're in the Naomi Osaka experience. Hopefully it lasts as long as Serena does, but enjoy it while it's here, because I sure
Emily
am.
Kaplan.
Yeah, I think she's one of the most likable, humble, and authentic athletes that we have in sports today. You know, she said earlier in this tournament, as long as Serena's around, she'll be the face of tennis. And that's probably true because of the equity that Serena built up. But Naomi has made huge strides, as Justin said, becoming more comfortable talking about social justice issues, becoming more marketable, marketing herself on that cover of GQ with her boyfriend. That's very cool. So this is just the beginning of a very, very bright career for her, and it's just awesome to watch.
Tinsley 22, Kaplan 21, Kalishaw 19, Kime 16. That was awesome to watch. Buy or sell is next. Coming up, 14 years, $340 million. Do you even know what you're doing in 14 years from now? Any of you?
I'll be honest.
I don't know what I'm doing 14 minutes from now.
We'll talk about Fernando Tatis and buy or sell.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
14 years, $340 million. There's the $340 million part. And there's the 14 years part. Emily Kaplan, what did the Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. just agree to?
You know, in a year where teams like the Cubs and the Red Sox are crying poor, I think it's amazing that the 27th media market is like, don't worry, baseball, we got this. We've been complaining for so long that baseball's been stagnant and boring. Here's a team giving the reins to a 22-year-old who is dynamic and marketable. This is awesome.
Tim Kalishaw.
It's about 2 years earlier than these young great players usually get these deals. But I give credit to A.J. Preller, who looks at his numbers, which really are about one season's worth of at-bats, and he sees 39 homers, a 300 average, 27 steals, and says, we're keeping this for the life of his career.
Times.
I'd also give credit to the organization for not playing service time games, which that's probably contributed to this deal getting done early. I love this, man. It's great for baseball. It's great for the Padres. We're talking about a guy who's hit the most home runs of any shortstop ever through 150 games. This is a win all around.
But it's 14 years. I mean, has any of the big deals in all of sports ever really worked out? Justin Tinsley, by yourself, these numbers.
14 years is a long time, but when that contract is up, the Mets will still owe Bobby Bonilla one more payment. So it's a long time, but it's not the longest ever. You know, I don't know if Tatis is the face of baseball, but he is one of the many faces, and baseball needs to get around this. They have really young, talented players across the league, and if they ever want to regain that cultural cachet that the game once had, you market these guys. These are superstars.
Everybody loves 14 years commitment. Have you ever committed to anything for 14 years? Do you know what Tom Brady's made in his career playing in football, just on the field? It's not $340 million, and Tatis got it for 150 games. Yes. This is young
play
kids.
Baseball,
play
kids.
Baseball. Absolutely. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a quote, end quote, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert. Mina, buy or sell the Colbert report and that type of endorsement.
I'm selling the endorsement because it reminds me a lot of another quote from Rams GM Les Snead. Jared Goff is the Rams quarterback today. The only reason I think they might stick with Ben is they don't have a lot of options in cap space, but it is not a ringing endorsement.
Tim Kalishaw?
Sounded a lot to me like Texas's Chris Del Conte on December 12th saying, I want to reiterate Tom Herman is our coach.
Okay.
And then 2 weeks later, Steve Sarkisian was their coach. Ben Roethlisberger shouldn't be their quarterback. They need to move on from that.
So I guess the same question applies to you, Emily, but also conduct becoming of the man who's been a quarterback for the last decade and a half and won two Super Bowls. Does he get that type of endorsement from the GM?
What I'm buying is they genuinely don't know what to do. Like, you don't have guys on the roster you can turn to. Mason Rudolph ain't it. You can't go in with Dwayne Haskins as your number one quarterback next year. And then, okay, so let's say that you stick with Ben Roethlisberger. Well, your team's going to be severely diminished because you can't keep those seven other free agents. They're too expensive and the division's so great. So it's either, like, do we put a Band-Aid on it this year or do we eat the L and then put a total reset for this organization?
Justin Tinsley.
I'm selling it because Kevin Colbert's statement is like when you ask somebody, when you ask somebody how they're doing with their significant other and they say, we good, they're not doing good. The Steelers have 19 unrestricted free agents, so this isn't their lone issue. But this marriage feels way closer to divorce court than a vow renewal.
Understandable. But also, nobody's getting a rise. This guy's been there for 15 years. He's their two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, Mina, and this is the type of statement you give out?
Ain't enough.
I mean, he's not going to lie. That would be worse if he said he's our long-term future.
We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Hawks 122, Celtics 114. Trae Young had 40 last night. But I want to talk about something Trae Young does on the court. Brad Stevens, after the game, he said he tried everything defense to contain Young, even 2-3 zone. But that he's hard to officiate, and he called it tricks that Trae does to get the call. The Knicks and that Tom Gibson play that we showed, and the Nets a couple weeks ago said the same thing about playing Young. It's his stop and foul move. Buy or sell Trae's tricks. Justin, is this bad basketball?
I'm buying it until they take it off the shelves. I love Trae's response to Steve Nash when he basically said, I learned the game from you, bro. Look, is it boring? Does it slow it down? Sure, but it gets under people's skin, and that's half the battle, man. Reggie Miller, he kicked out his leg when he was shooting three.
Okay, but this isn't even that, right? You saw the plays we just showed, Justin. I mean, there's barely contact. Taj Gibson is straight up and down. You don't agree with those calls, do you?
That's on the refs. That's not on Trae.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mina Kimes, how about you?
I'm with Justin. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. He is following the rules. He's exploiting them. And what he's doing, by the way, that takes athleticism, Tony, because if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Tim Kalishaw.
It is on the refs. They don't need to be calling all these touch fouls. And you showed two plays in Boston, and there were more. If there were 18,000 Celtics fans at that game, there's no way the refs are giving him those calls. I promise you, those are calls made in a pandemic.
and Emily Kaplan.
First, he's not getting every call because I was on the show this last week and we were talking about a topic where he didn't get a call at the end of the game against the Mavs. But look, tricks are for kids and I'm all for it. What I think is amazing about this is it's the James Hardenization of the league. And we needed one villain in the earlier in the season. It was James Harden. And now we have a new villain. Everyone loves
him. All right, everybody agrees this is on the officials. I guess, Tinsley, I got to give you your points back because you had that one right. This is just, it's not good though. It's not great watching this, that's for sure.
No.
Take it up with the
was
rest.
Pretty great watching Kimes and Kalashaw go at it with Kaplan and Tinsley today. I mean, you got to be proud. 24, 30 points. It's good for your scoring average. But that's the end of Mina and Tim. Kaplan, Tinsley, showdown in 2 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I know everybody's got jokes, but this is a real story. Tim Tebow retiring from baseball. You know the backstory. He made spring training with the Mets, never made it out of the minors. What is the story here, though? How will you remember Tebow, Emily Kaplan?
I always remember how excited Max Scherzer was to face him in spring training, how, like, super cool opportunity. Still struck him out in three pitches. But there's something to be said about reinventing yourself and taking risks later in your career, and I think that's admirable.
Justin?
223 batting average in the minors, 151 batting average in big league spring training. It's dope he got to live out a dream, but come on, bro. This is just the real-life version of Rudy.
See what you're trying to do there, Tinsley. You know I'm stat boy, once and forever a stat boy. But this wasn't about stats for me. Point, game, Emily Kaplan, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
The Pittsburgh Penguins had a GM opening, and they opted for two hires, Brian Burke and Ron Hextall. Both are well-known hockey men who have experienced running teams before. But at some point, we have to ask ourselves, are there only 40 men qualified for these jobs, and at what point are we going to stop cycling through them? Talked to a lot of people in hockey about this, and it's our blind spot, our hockey diversity problem, our old boys network. It's funny, if you were CEO hired to run a company in 2021 and grow it, you would never do this as your hiring practices. That said, it's ironic that hockey's slogan for so many years has been grow the game.
Well, it's hockey, it's baseball. We just saw Kim Eng this year make it as a general manager in baseball. All right, you know, we got a few seconds here to talk to our friend Justin Tinsley, who just adopted a dog yesterday. And he spent his first day and first night with the dog. You got to get back home to Nipsey.
I do. I do. That's my little man. He's driving me crazy, but I love him. I love him to death.
So we got a Nipsey. We got a Lenny. Kaplan, we have a dog in the house?
No. Just love a lot of dogs in the neighborhood.
And Tim, thanks for being here. 23 NFL breaks. See you tomorrow.